It is now time for the crime report. It's brought to you by the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. All calls to be kept confidential. Monetary reward of up to $5,000 issued for information at various times leading to an arrest. Joe Jacklin, of course, retired NYPD sergeant, a former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay. And the author of the bestseller, third edition, by the way, Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide to New Investigators, and a highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day, including the Department Medal of Valor, the aforementioned Joseph Jacklin. We say a very good morning to the Sarge. Sir, how are you?
Good, Jay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm still trying to digest, Sergeant, from yesterday, the news of the Suffolk County Police Department and the unveiling of this evidence. Let's get your take on thing. We're talking about Gilgo Beach, ladies and gentlemen. The evidence revealed yesterday, the belt with initials on it. Joe, give me your take.
Well, I was, disappointed, I think, as a lot of other people was. I mean, to be waiting 9 years to release this information, I think it could have been done a lot sooner in the investigation, for sure. They kind of lay things like wide open, like they know that the killers touched the stuff, but they don't really tell us how. So, I mean, it leads to speculation. I guess maybe it was found wrapped around a body, or it was on top of a body, or whatever it might be. So then they would say that he definitely touched it. So take DNA hopefully from that too, but you got to remember it's outdoors and it's been there for God knows how long before the bodies were discovered. So the usefulness of this is probably zero, and I think that's why they put it out. And you know what, the timing of it, right? So we have Gilgo News. They put out a website, and I couldn't get on it all day. So I don't know if it was just busy or it was just down. But the other issue that comes down to is that you have two major events coming up next week, right? So you have the release of the 911 tape fight and the new Netflix show on the thing. So they're just trying to get out in front of this. But I don't know if they're really ready about what's going to happen with this Netflix movie.
Yeah, I was extremely disappointed, Joe. The Netflix movie's coming out March 13th. You have John Ray heading to the courts. He'll be on with us later in the appellate with a decision, the releasing of the tapes, not releasing the tapes. Listen, I give the Suffolk County Police Department props galore. The way they handle the heroin epidemic, the drug epidemic, opioid crisis right now, the arrests, ringleaders being gathered up left and right. I give them a lot of credit handling the gang situation. The Bloods, the MS-13, the arrest, the 97 that were gathered up a couple of weeks ago. Tremendous. They're foiling rings left and right, both gangs. I don't give them credit at all the way they have handled this investigation. I am sorry. I don't like it at all since day one. You're telling me you're coming up here to the stage with the unveiling of a belt. You know, I mean, come on. You're telling me 9 years plus now, we are revealing a piece of evidence they call significant, could be initials, WM, WH, ABC, DEF. I mean, I have no idea what the heck it means. But quite frankly, I'm disappointed. I don't like it. I think it's grandstanding. That's the way I thought about it yesterday, Joe. I'm sorry. You know, John Ray held kind of a mini press conference yesterday at around 11:15. To demand that these tapes be handed over. The tapes we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, are the Shannon Gilbert tapes. She made a phone call. What's on the tape? If anything, I have my own belief. I think nothing is on the tape. I think it was erased. I'll tell you right now, I think it was erased. And I think they're trying to save their own behinds here right now without having more egg on their face in this investigation. You couple that, you couple this Netflix movie coming out in about 8 weeks or so, and I think that's why the police department had to get to the microphone and the cameras first yesterday before anything else is coming about in the next couple of days. We know yesterday the Ray press conference. We know Tuesday's a big day. I think they had to beat him to the punch. That's just my gut, Joe.
Well, they actually even mentioned kind of thing, like how now this 9/11 tape is becoming a significant part of the investigation. And, you know, the issue that comes down to is that they weren't even, they still haven't, you know, changed the manner of death for Shannon Gilbert. So it's kind of weird. I think that's what happens next. And then they say, well, it's part of the investigation. We can't release it. I guess that's what the next move will be. Let's put it this way. The way they've been fighting this 9/11 tape tooth and nail, they have caused so much speculation and so much angst about it that people are starting to think that they're trying to cover something up, right? So it's like a conspiracy kind of thing. And you know what? That's what happens when you're not transparent, or when you do things where you've lost in the court and then you're still holding it up, and now you're going through another court case, and you're not handling the case as a homicide. I think that's when people start to, you know, raise the eyebrow and say, like, what's going on here?
4 years, this department has been asked to hand over those tapes. 4 years, okay? They have completely stonewalled the situation against the attorney, the public, with the refusal to release them. Even though the Supreme Court, let's not forget, Joe, the state Supreme Court ordered the police to release those tapes to John Ray. So they've defied the court. I just don't like the way they've handled the situation. A couple of things. I didn't like the way they handled the Justin Legergo case, the 2-year-old who was killed, shot by his father. Remember the whole thing with the Amber Alert? We never understood what happened there. There was a botched Amber Alert. You know, you talk about, you know, to me. Now, I understand investigations, and you know this better than anyone, Joe. Tell me if I'm wrong. But I understand with ongoing investigations, you can't spill the beans. I get it. But can we have a little bit of transparency in one of the nation's most unsolved mysteries? My goodness, you're coming up with a piece of evidence now, 9 years into this thing. Finally, you're declaring you found a black leather belt embossed with letters. Are you kidding me? I tell you, I didn't like it at all. I thought it was grandstanding beyond, and I didn't like the body language either. They couldn't wait to get off that darn podium yesterday. They couldn't wait. In fact, they got off it while the commissioner was still speaking. They were very unsteady as far as information. They looked nervous, like you would not believe. Yes, I didn't like it at all, Joe.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with, you know, it's just it's a head scratcher here. I mean, this case is just, you know, it looks so far gone. Anything that they could have released should have been done years. I mean, I think this is the first major piece of evidence or anything they've come out with in 9 years. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't believe in coincidences, and it's just as simple as that. And I think even some of the news agencies called them out on that kind of thing, too. They alluded to the fact that all this stuff is coming out next week, and now all of a sudden we have some. It's, you know, listen, they've done a great job with the gangs and everything else, and you can't take that away from them. But they have, like you said, they have mishandled this case poorly from the beginning. And every administration, right? So you had Burke fumbled this thing, then Cini fumbled it, and now it looks like it's just going the same way.
And again, I'm not putting down the department overall. They do a phenomenal job in areas we told you about. The way they've handled this one, I can't figure. There's no transparency. You know, it's interesting. When I compare police commissioners, you have Patrick Ryder, who goes to the mic in front of the cameras on everything, lets you know what's going on. Nothing ever from Geraldine Hart. Okay? Nothing ever. Not that I'm not gonna give her an F for that, okay? But can you at least be transparent in just something a little here with this investigation? We've heard nothing. And all of a sudden now, you have things that will be unveiled in the next week or so, the movie down the road. All of a sudden, we got to say something of this nature. You're holding on to this belt? And reporters are asking the question. Finally, somebody came up with the fact of the tapes. Somebody had the epiphany to say, oh, what about the tapes for Tuesday and everything? Oh, we can't comment. We're not going to comment on that. Nothing to comment on the investigation. That's what I want to know. I want to know why those tapes have not been handed over. And in 48 months, those tapes have been asked for. They have not been. What's on those tapes? That could be a significant piece of evidence, and we still don't know. Bad job. That's all I got to say on this thing.
Yeah, no, like I said, well, it's going to be an interesting week next week, and I think they're going to get bombarded with all kinds of people coming in today, hitting their website. I finally got on their website this morning. It's pretty sparse. It's just, you know, the only piece of evidence that they have is the thing that they released yesterday. So,
and they finally told you. And by the way, they finally told you about a website.
Yeah.
Why wasn't the website set up 10 years ago? That's what I want to know. Why wasn't that thing set up? All of a sudden, let's put a website up so we can get some tips and live stuff and everything. I can't figure that one out either. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. I left there. I was scratching my head for hours looking at over and over again at this press conference. I couldn't figure it out. All right, let's move on. We're only a three-hour show, folks. Let's move on, Joe. This bail reform is an absolute disgrace. I'm sorry. This Jordan Randolph will serve as the template now if things don't change. You know, this was the Belport guy, Joe, who killed a guy on the William Floyd last week, going, what, 90? Drunk? Rear-ended this poor guy, Maldonado, killed him. This is a guy who's been arrested over the years, 9 years, in and out of jails. You know, the latest in Nassau County, he never even showed up to something. I mean, here we go again, trying to lasso Jordan Randolph. I mean, it just gets worse and worse and worse every darn day of the week. And by the way, look at the calendar. We're only January 6th, 16 days into this mess, Joe.
Yeah, no, like I said, I can't say that, nobody saw this coming, right? I mean, a lot of people saw this coming, and a lot of people were raising the flag, and of course, they've been labeled as fear-mongers and everything else, but, you know, they have now attributed one person's death to this bail reform. I mean, listen, I'll say this again, we need some bail reform in the country, in New York, in the country for sure. Most of it, when you look at it now, retrospectively, you could see that it was unfair to a lot of people who couldn't afford to get out of prison, you know, if they could post the bail. But when the mayor has to step in to do something to keep somebody behind bars, I mean, because they keep on, committing more crimes. And when does somebody say, okay, let's do this now? I mean, Cuomo mentioned that, yeah, we have to tweak it, but it's a law, isn't it? You can't tweak a law. You either repeal it or you make an amendment to it, and I think they were in all last week, the assembly. What you need to do is have Carl Hestie come in on the show, Jay. You should reach out to them and ask him to come on there and explain, because he's been actually outspoken about the fear mongering and let the thing, you know, have patience and see where it goes, and we should see what he has to say about it, because. It's just, let's put it this way. It's shaping up everything that we thought it was going to be. It's shaping up that way.
I don't know what's happening in Albany. I said earlier in the week, I'll say it to you, you would think recreational marijuana has been passed already, because that's what they're doing up in Albany now. And I'll tell you this, with Hasty, who I put a call into yesterday, Hasty making plenty of wasty right now, doing nothing. If I hear one more word from him again telling us we have to wait, and let it kind of form something, you know, what is he looking for here? You know, what more the Tiffany Harris example doesn't mean anything, you know, in and out of jail 12 times regarding the anti-Semitic attacks. The Maria Campione incident doesn't mean anything to him. Graffiti on the bank, in and out of the school at Hewlett, breaking in left and right, in and out of jail, 20 years of age. And certainly the Randolph deal doesn't mean anything to him. What more do these people want up there? Oh, my goodness. I can't take it anymore. Between Hasty and Andrea Stewart Cousins, wake up, please. Somebody wake up. The governor telling us that definitely something has to be fixed. I can't hear anything from him in his state of the state. Nothing mentioned. I hear de Blasio. When de Blasio says there's something wrong with something, guess what? Fix it. When does that liberal say anything of content, of substance? Nothing, ever. Oh, my goodness, Joe. It's tough. I'll tell you, it's tough.
Unfortunately, I don't think we've heard the worst of it yet. And unfortunately, I think that's what they're waiting for. And I don't know. I mean, you would figure that if they're in session, they should be looking at this stuff immediately and at least try to write a provision in there about, you know, allowing the judges to to, you know, hold somebody, or if, you know, anything. I mean, just come out and say, listen, we're not doing anything. We're going to let it go. I mean, just somebody, you know, what the problem is now, it's politics at play, right? Now people are worried about getting reelected because they think they're all up for reelection this coming November. And I think that's what's kind of, you know, stalling it a little bit. Maybe they're saying, well, let's wait and see. You know, I don't know. People have long memories, so we'll see what happens.
Listen, three things they got to do, and then we'll move on. Give judges back their powers. You've stripped them, please. Listen, 47 states give judges the authority to use discretion, to consider public safety, no matter what the charges, in deciding whether a suspect needs to be jailed pending trial. 47 states give judges that authority. That would include New Jersey, by the way, which also, you know, you give the Garden State a little credit, Joe. They eliminated most cash bail. Okay? But 47 states, including Jersey, that's number one. Number two, you've got to reverse this presumption on rapid disclosure of victim and witness information. It is ridiculous there. And number three, in my opinion, you've got to slash the new discovery stuff, okay? Slash the rest of the new discovery requirements to a level that, you know, these crime labs and the prosecutors can actually manage in a timely manner. You can't let defense attorneys game the system. You can't do it. And that's what they're doing now. They're gaming the system by gumming up the works until the prosecution says, you know what? I give up. And that's what's happening right now. Can't do it. This pendulum has to be a even kill right now. And it's not. It is swung one way.
Yeah, we always seem to swing too far to the left or too far to the right. I mean, there's never a happy medium. And we have to figure out what that happy medium is. But some of these reforms, I even wrote about those in the New York Post op-ed, and I mentioned those things back in October. And, you know, nobody listens to you back then, and nobody's going to say that, oh, yeah, we, you know, it is what it is. But common sense has to dictate one time, you know. And somebody up in Albany has to say, all right, common sense, this is not exactly what we don't have to scrap the entire thing, but we need to put in provisions. We need to do however they need to amend the law. I don't know how they do that, but however they do it and put some of this common sense back into it. Because it's just, and instead they're actually doubling down and going for more, introducing the medical, introducing the marijuana stuff and everything else on top of it. Yeah, sure, let's throw that out there too, because we did so well with the criminal justice reform. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
I don't know. They got to look at it. I'm seeing all kinds of tweaks and everything else. I got Senator Anna Kaplan coming on at 8:00. We'll see. She has something regarding mental health and everything. You know, come on. If somebody's not of the right mental health capacity, then a judge can say, you know, I think we're going to hold you. When is anybody of the right state of mind when they commit acts of violence? I mean, I can't figure that one out, but we'll find out. A couple of more, Joe. A terrible story out of South Farmingdale. Police still, I guess, investigating the homicide there. Woman found, I guess, asphyxiation she died from, this 27-year-old Kelly Owen. The investigation ongoing. Do we know anything more here?
No, we don't, but I'm sure that when you hear about somebody like is murdered like this, and you kind of always lean towards a significant other in those kind of things, you know, an up-close and personal type of homicide, I think that's kind of the first theory that investigators will go with. And, you know, when you strangle somebody, it's not like television where somebody, you know, dies as soon as you put your hands on there. It takes a while to do this stuff. So this was out of anger. And, you know, I think they'll be zoning in quickly, and I think they'll have they'll put something out relatively soon if they're looking for somebody or they haven't caught them already. And I think you'll see that coming out in the news.
No signs of a break-in. Tough one there. Hopefully something.
Yes.
The other tough one was the man that was shot to death right in front of his home in Plainview, right? He had
yeah.
May have had a dispute with another motorist, now they're saying, before he was gunned down. This 27-year-old Justin Gottlieb, Joe, shot multiple times on Tuesday evening, right around 5:30 or so, as he tried to exit his red Ford Explorer there. Do we know anything more here? Was it a dispute? Road rage? What are we looking at here?
Well, they're saying it, but I mean, it's he's sitting in his car. So, I mean, I don't know if there was somebody that came up on him after arguing with him and shot him through the window, whatever. I mean, if you saw the photo of the truck that he was in, you could see the glass and everything was broken outside of it. So, he was actually shot through the window kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, when it originally first came out, people were talking about that this was a targeted event, and even the police came out and used the word this was a targeted hit. So until we start delving deep into his background, and which is something that the police always do, right? They do a complete victimology on the person, what they were involved with, who would want to do this, was he involved in anything nefarious, that kind of stuff, and it would lead to this. And then if you can't prove any of that, then you have to start looking at some of the other theories. So now I think that's what they're on the road rage thing. But you got to remember too, hopefully there is something that the video cameras, residential video cameras in plain view that caught some of this stuff. Hopefully they canvassed all those houses in the area and off the parkway. I think it happened near Gerhard Road, which is not far from the hospital. So this thing could have come off the 135, got on Old Country Road and gone down Gerhard Road that way. So there could be a good possibility that there was maybe a chase, so to speak, right? And road rage incident where he's following or chasing behind him. So we'll see more of that.
Yeah, road rage is always tough. I always tell my family members, just drive. If you don't hum, my wife loves to honk her horn no matter what. I said, what are you doing? I said, you don't know who's in that other car. Just drive. I mean, everybody, honking the horn and everything else, just drive. Now, again, if it was a road rage situation, that's a tough one. If they knew each other, who the heck knows? Hopefully they'll find out more. Joe, what about this, what was it, Lisa and Sons? The guy had owned and led this paving company, millions of dollars in contracts, corruption charge, pled guilty, this Ilya Lisa. But he paid about $1.6 million in bribes. If you remember that Frederick Ippolito, the corruption scandals in Oyster Bay, you can write a book on them, right? But that was the latest here with Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, even more of this comes out. I mean, the Glitzkin corruption of politicians is, it always seems to be at the forefront of a lot of these fraud cases and stuff. So, I don't know anymore, Jay. When do we just, clean the slate and start over?
Let's do a little rapid fire here, Joseph. The Flanders guy who gave an East Quag woman a deadly cocktail, actually caused her to have a fatal overdose a couple of years ago. He got a sentence to a year in jail. I thought it was light for Justin Adamo there, drug rehab as well. But he got a sentence on Wednesday for that one. Remember that whole scene a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I agree. I think he got off light. And if they're going to spend this much time investigating the people who give out the drugs or sell the drugs, and you're only going to come out with something like this, it's not going to really have much teeth in it.
Going to corrupt politicians. Everybody remembers good old Freddie Toll Jr. With the tax evasion and everything else. Some restitution will have to pay, community service and everything else. Hopefully he gets his life together. Had a gambling addiction. I knew Fred way back in the day on LI News Radio. Hopefully he gets the help he needs here, Joe.
Well, yep. I hope everybody who needs help gets it, right? And that's when we can avoid some of this stuff to begin with. And it's not just goes for him, but all the other people out there that could use some mental health or some intervention of some other kind so that we can prevent this stuff and we won't have to talk about it.
Joe, nothing like a professor at Stony Brook University in cancer research just taking a little bit of the piece of pie for himself, $225,000 in grant money. I'll use it on my house, a few vacations, buy a couple of cars. Who's going to notice? What's the difference anyway? We're never going to find the cure anyway. At least that was the mindset, it seems, of this Jeffrey Gittin there, the professor over at Stony Brook, Joe.
Well, he isn't the first one to have done this, and I think that they need to do a full investigation of any grant that's given out. They should demand to see what has been done about it and how, what other products have been created, research, books, articles, whatever it may be. I think that this is a problem nationwide. This isn't here. He just got caught. I mean, this guy was forming shell companies and everything else to go along with this stuff, and I think that when you're giving anybody a big blank check like this to do some quote-unquote research, and then you're not really following up on what you're getting out of it, I think this is a bad move. So I think that the government and everybody else who do these things need to start, you know, ponying up at the table here, too, and start demanding, say, listen, we're going to give you the money, but this is what we want. We want a book. We want this. We want that. And then we want a full accounting of what exactly, how much money was spent and where it was spent.
No doubt. A couple of more, Joe. The crime report, of course. The great Joe Jackalone. You know, I was glad to see that investigation in Riverhead conclude. Remember the homeless guy, happens to be the brother of a pretty famous radio guy out in the East End, Sapien. They found his killer. You know, they had a struggle, it seems. One guy, this Daniel Hughes, hit him over the head. He died, and thus on the hunt, and they finally got this guy.
Well, yeah, no, this is another great job that Suffolk County did. So, like we had said earlier, you know, we're not because of, you know, with the Gilgo thing, but they've gotten A pluses in many of the other cases and stuff that they've done. And it's just, this goes to show you that, you know, they're not stopping. They're going on doing this case. It's just this one particular case where they've just been paralyzed for, and the public wants to know why. And I think after this Netflix series comes out, based on Bob Coker's book, you know, Lost Girls, who we've had Bob Coker on our show, I think they're going to get inundated with stuff.
No doubt. A couple of more quick ones here. Joseph, the drug ringleader, remember that whole thing with Ricky Jackson? And this was he was a bad guy. A lot of fentanyl being spread out all over the place, Joe. They finally, you know, this is a guy, cocaine, fentanyl. He got a 15-year sentence on Monday. This guy out of Hempstead, 41 years of age, 8-person yes. drug ring.
Yeah, I mean it was a stiff sentence that they've gotten. I think they had 400 grams of fentanyl that they caught him with. Madeline Singers has done a great job too, and they had worked with the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, and they had done, you know, other partners in the federal government to try to get this thing done. And you know what, This guy's now, yeah, this is the kind of sentence that you say to yourself, it could act as a deterrent for people who would want to sell the stuff laced with fentanyl. So let's see if if we start to see sentences like this come down and see if we start seeing less and less drug overdoses with fentanyl. It'd be interesting.
Two more. Member of the Blood Street Gang with a plea of guilty. The attempted murder. He'll probably get a max. Well, he could be sentenced to a max of 15 years. Remember that whole shooting last year was, right? At Lake Ronkonkoma, the IHOP, that's what it was.
Yeah.
DeAndre Green. And, you know, listen, he pled guilty to attempted murder in the second degree. That was quite a scene in there. There was a family sitting right across. It was a terrible scene there.
And it could have been a lot worse than it was. And, you know, it's so now here you got, you know, he takes the plea probably because if he went to trial, it would have been a lot worse for him. So we will, you know, we'll see what happens when he comes out and he changes his life and turns it around, or does it become worse? I mean, listen, we know jail, prisons need to be fixed in certain aspects. We're not getting enough people out of there with, you know, high school educations or college degrees or what have you, too. So, I mean, that could have been all part of the reform bill, too, but it kind of wasn't.
This one, Joe, the five kids, they were teenagers, accused now of stabbing and striking this Uniondale High School kid with a bat. Remember that whole thing last week?
Yeah.
Arrested and charged, and then these five might have some affiliations with the MS-13 street gang there. That's the latest there.
Right, yeah. I mean, they've kind of danced around that issue, too, but they've all been charged with gang assault, so that's something that could be foretelling about how they've, you know, treated this thing. But I think that you know, Nassau did a great job putting this thing together, too, rather quickly, because when it first came out, it was pretty much, we heard nothing, and then all of a sudden, a few days later, they swept up all the kids, and you know, that was that. And that's how, you know, the police operate. They don't like to tell you everything up front, because it could tip people off, and then they go run and hide, and then it makes it harder to find them.
Joe, great job. Brought to you by the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS. 220-8477. All calls to be kept confidential. Don't forget about the $5,000 reward money for info leading to an arrest in many a case. Joe, we'll talk to you. A lot on the plate, as we told you. Tons of stuff regarding bail reform and, of course, the Gilgo stuff from yesterday. We'll talk soon, sir.
Have a great weekend.